Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Usually, we have Patrick Mahomes on the show. Wednesday is at 3:15. It has been pushed to Thursday. Chiefs have a little different schedule this week because of the Monday night football game. Patrick will still be on the show. He will just be on the show tomorrow and not today. We got a lot to get into in today's show. I believe Bob Fesco is going to call in at some point. We're trying to lock down a time. Think about all the guests that Rob books for us. Rob is having a tough time locking in one of his own coworkers today. So that lets you know the kind of work that Rob was putting in from 11 to 2. We're going to have Matt Evans of Channel 9. He is going to be on the show. We're going to talk about Frank White here coming up in just a little bit as he got replaced yesterday. We're also going to be joined by Binkley. He's going to come in studio. There's a lot of football things to talk to Binkley about. We'll talk a little college football, a little NFL. Knowing Binkley, he'll tell us how good Lee Summit West is so far this year. It's always a fun conversation when we're joined in studio by Jay Binkley. It's been a while since we've had Binkley join us in studio. If you were one to keep up with the baseball playoffs, the Tigers and the Guardians right now are tied at one apiece. It is the top of the sixth inning. We'll keep you updated right now on what is happening in the baseball playoffs. Let's get right to it. But before we do, I need you guys to do me a couple of things. Number one, I need you guys listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you guys to tell one friend to check out the show. And number three, and most importantly, I need you to know that the open of the show is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. Stop by, grab yourself something to drink, grab yourself something to eat, watch a little playoff baseball, a little football, all of those things, and celebrate October. A lot of people believe that this is the best sports month of the calendar. You know what? What only seems right to me to kick off the show today is to play for you the words of Bob Fesco. There have been few people in this city that have been as plugged in on this topic as our dear friend Bob Fesco. Listen to what he had to say about Frank White, who got fired yesterday.
It really is a sad fall from grace by Frank White, but he did it to himself. And he had a great job with the Royals being their TV guy. You can't talk trash about the organization when you work for them, and that's why that ended. And, you know, he never became the manager. No other team hired Frank White as the manager either. You don't normally want to hire your quote-unquote heroes to be your manager or your head coach, because eventually, you know what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to fire those guys, right? And so that's not something that you want to do. And so you look at, you know, the whole situation involving Frank. He went from a guy who could have wrote his ticket in this town to do anything to a guy that everybody's packing boxes up for him and kicking him out the door. It really is. Ultimately, you know, we do one word at 7:30. The one word is sad for Frank White right now. It is a sad, sad situation, you know, involving him. But again, he did it to himself. Nobody else can be blamed for this. That's what, you know, life is all about. Things happen to you. It's your fault. Take responsibility for it. And Frank's going to have to take responsibility for this and then getting his ass kicked yesterday at the polls.
I got a couple of different thoughts about this regarding Frank White. Let's get into them. Let's unpack them. Let's start with the big picture and what I think this means for everybody. It doesn't matter if you live in Jackson County. Doesn't matter if you live in Johnson County, Clay County, Cass County, all of the counties surrounding Kansas City's metropolitan area. It is the future of the stadiums. I think in some ways that the teams are letting Frank White be the scapegoat for a lot of their poor planning in all of this. Someone has to be the face of all of it, and Frank is, fairly or unfairly, shouldering a lot of burden in that discussion, and we'll get back to that. But what I think is really, really important, and what I think affects everybody, is I think it is pretty obvious that Frank was a hindrance in trying to get something done in Jackson County. And if you are the Chiefs and if you are the Royals, it is your responsibility to get all of the information available before you make a decision. The Kansas offer is there, and the Kansas offer is not changing. Now, I know they've said that they're not going to push the deadline back again. Yes, they will. The state of Kansas will wait until Jesus returns if they think they got a chance to either get the Royals or the Chiefs. So they have not created any deadline. The Royals and Chiefs will let them know when they're ready to move forward with the plan, if they want to move forward with the plan. And Kansas will do everything in their power to try to accommodate this, because you get two chances potentially in a century in trying to get the teams to move over to your side of state line. So that's very much important. And one of the reasons why I think this has taken so much time with the Royals and with the Chiefs to come to a decision and to get something done is I think they were waiting for Frank to be done. If you listen to anybody that was involved with this process, anybody that was close to being involved in this process and done any level of reporting, I think it has been pretty widespread known that Frank was a hindrance in these discussions. That it's already hard enough to get a $1 billion deal done. We're talking about two teams getting billions of dollars of deals done. And you got to get everybody on the same page. I think it was pretty apparent that Frank White was not on the same page as everybody else. So he got to go. And they got rid of him yesterday. We, the people of Jackson County, got rid of him yesterday. So what I expect to happen at some point in the next 90 days is a sit down with the Royals and Jackson County, a sit down with the Chiefs in Jackson County, and trying to figure out what the plan is and if those sides can move forward. I don't think they were ever going to be able to move forward with Frank White in command and having his hand in some form of the conversation. I think that was a non-starter. I think that was non-negotiable. I think the teams were 100% moving if that was going to be the case. Now, they still might end up moving, but I think it is certainly a lot better today than it was yesterday about the team staying on this side of state line. I also think that this thing is really, really important to note, and why I don't want to lose sight of this. I don't think the Royals put together a very good plan. And I understand that whenever something fails, we as humans usually need somebody to blame for why it fails. It can never fail because you weren't good enough, or the other side was better than you. No, it's got to be the refs. No, it's got to be this thing. No, I don't think the Royals put together a very good, cohesive plan. I don't think they initially wanted to put the stadium in the place that we, the public, wanted to be. I don't think they had their ducks in a row. I think the public can see through the nonsense and the BS, and I think the public told them no. What I will give Frank a lot of credit for is he was one of the people that stood up to the Royals and said this plan wasn't good enough. I don't think their plan was good enough. I don't think the Chiefs' plan was good enough. And I do believe that Frank was one of the people that said, if you're going to ask for all of this money, there needs to be a more clear and concise plan on what you plan on doing with the money. And I firmly believe that both teams played on our emotion. And if you live in Missouri, you are terrified of business going to the other side of state lines. And I think they tried to bully the people of Jackson County and the people of Missouri. And I believe that Frank is one of the few people that was willing to stand up and say, no, that's not good enough. Now, what did that get you? I mean, it got you fired. This is just my observation. You can think I'm right. You can think I'm wrong. This is just my observation. You can't mess up people's taxes the way that you did and property taxes and potentially lose the teams. You got to pick a struggle. You can't struggle in both areas. And he did tremendously. Either keep the teams that we love and we care about. And yeah, I mean, the tax is kind of one of those things you just got to live with. They're inevitable. Or you got to fix the other thing. But you can't be deficient and get an F in both grades. Sometimes life is very simple. It's a pass or fail. We love to give out grades A, B, C. No, this is a simply, did you accomplish your goal or did you not accomplish it? He had two major goals. He failed tremendously at both of them. So you get replaced if that's the case. I don't think this fall from grace is maybe as bad as other people do because humans, for the most part, are very, very forgiving. And if the Royals, Chiefs, the city, if they do a good job over the course of the next 3-5 years of kind of embracing Frank White, wrapping their arms around Frank and bringing him back into the fold, into the mix, I absolutely think that Frank White can be back in our good graces. We have certainly let people back into our good graces for far bigger discretions than potentially losing a sports team. So let's see how this situation plays itself out. There are a lot of moving parts. We're going to talk to Matt Evans about it coming up in just a little bit. We will get to football coming up here in just a bit, but you can't fail both of your major tasks and expect to keep your job. That's not how this works. But I also don't want today to just be about the things that Frank White did wrong without acknowledging that the Chiefs put together a half-assed plan that they tried to get us to fund, and the Royals had one of the most scatterbrained, inconsistent, unorganized plans that we have seen to try to get $1 billion from the public. And the public pretty resoundingly told you, no, that's not good enough. So let's see what the future of the Truman Sports Complex looks like. Let's see what the future is for the Chiefs. Let's see what the future is for the Royals. And I also think we got to wait to see what the future looks like for Frank White. We can take you guys' phone calls on this, 913-586-7965. Let's also talk a little bit of football and get you ready for Monday Night Football between the Chiefs and the Jaguars. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At this.
We'll get back to the Chiefs here coming up in a little bit, but let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Bob Fesco of, is it still Fesco in the Morning or Fesco and Dusty? I don't know the official new name of your show, Bob. How you doing, man?
I'm good. We're well over a year into it, Carrington. So
I'm sorry. It's just, it's kind of one of those things, Bob, like whenever I see Starry, I still call it Sierra Mist. I don't call it Joe's Kansas City. It's Oklahoma Joe's. Yeah. I still call your show Fesco in the Morning. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. I like the retrofit of that, and I'm with you. Nobody calls, like, what do we call Sandstone? Sandstone, right?
Right now, we're talking to Bob Fesco, morning host here on 96.5 The Fan. I know that's accurate, Bob. Let's start with this, Bob.
Yep.
Now that we have all of this with Frank White, how would you describe his time here in Jackson County?
A failure. I mean, the guy got recalled. That hardly ever happens in the United States of America. So I think if you're one of those guys that got recalled and you got kicked out of office by the people who put you in by a 85-15 margin, you're nothing but a failure. That's the only way I can describe Frank White in Jackson County.
Are you surprised that it was that overwhelming? I mean, usually when it comes to this, I mean, it's like a 55-60-40 is considered a blowout. I saw whenever we saw that first precinct and it was 85-15, I was like, oh, yeah, he's cooked. There's no chance then that this thing, that he has any chance of keeping his job. Are you surprised that it was that overwhelming?
You know, I thought it would be 80-20. I talked to a friend of mine in the political world. He goes, I don't think it'll be that big. I mean, it can't be that big. Oh, but it was bigger. It was 85-15. But, Carrington, you know as much as anybody, you mess with somebody's money, they're going to get mad, and there's going to be repercussions for that. And you open up your tax bill, and all of a sudden you went from paying $6,000 a year or whatever in property tax to $12,000. I talked to somebody today about an hour ago at a luncheon I was at. That person told me their property tax jumped 75%. And I'm like, oh, my God. And it's just like when you start doing that, people can't afford to live. And people are going to – I've talked to so many people that are like, I'm done with Jackson County. I got to move out of the county. I can't afford to live there anymore. And so it's a colossal failure by Frank White.
How much of this do you think was related to the tax issue in Jackson County? How much of this do you think was related to the stadium?
You know, I talked to an elected official actually about this today, and they said, look, the stadiums obviously play a role in it, but you also went after everybody's money, too. You're charging people double, more than double, to live there. So I think the money thing was a big issue, and he probably would have been recalled just for that alone. I think the stadium situation and the fact that the Royals are moving across the state line and there's a chance the Chiefs may move across the state line, I think that's what gave him the 85% recall vote for no, too.
Right now, we're talking to Bob Fesco, getting his thoughts on Frank White being recalled as the Jackson County executive. What's next? Do you have an idea of, is there going to be another election? Does somebody get appointed to this? I don't have the answer for this. This position is obviously filled. How do they fill it?
Well, he's going to appeal all of this, right? He's going to go to the Missouri Supreme Court, and he should, and anything's necessary to, you know, try to appeal this thing. But I would imagine you just go to a general election and you find somebody else, or, you know, whoever is one of the county legislatures, maybe they get appointed to kind of fill this whole thing out. But I haven't really thought that far through of, you know, what happens next, because, you know, it was a matter of let's make sure that we do the right thing and remove Frank from office. And another political person told me today, Carrington, they go, dude had it coming. Yeah, he did have it coming. There's nobody that feels sorry for Frank White today in Jackson County, in Johnson County, in Kansas City. I tell people Frank White's been great for the state of Kansas. It's too bad he doesn't represent the state of Kansas.
Have you seen somebody who, I mean, I know people have their issues with Frank White. We're not talking about, you know, he didn't have a DUI problem. This isn't a criminal issue or anything. Like, we've seen people fall from grace in that capacity. You've been in this city a long time. Have we seen somebody who 15 years ago was a very beloved figure, was on the Mount Rushmore of Kansas City athletes, that has had this kind of fall from grace?
I don't think so, Carrington. Can you think of anybody? We were trying to, you know, think about it. I mean, you could kind of go in the reverse order with Alex Smith, right? When he left, everybody was kind of done for Alex Smith to go. It was time to move on. And as we've seen over the years, Alex Smith is one of the biggest reasons why we're winning Super Bowls, and Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. And so I think he's kind of done a 180 the other way. I don't know that anybody has had a fall from grace this bad. I mean, I'm trying to think and grasp at somebody in the sports world, but I just don't think it's happened to anybody like this. I mean, this guy went from, as you mentioned, like one of the Mount Rushmore guys, a beloved figure. Now, his stats will say he was a very marginal player. He was a 250 hitter, 216 in the postseason. He was basically like putting up Aaron Judge-like numbers in the postseason. Nothing special, but he was still one of our guys, right? And so when you see this happen, you're like, oh my God, that was one of these guys we were rooting for as kids. One of these guys that was our idol, and he got fired from the Royals, and now he got fired from Jackson County. I mean, what's that say?
Right now, we're talking to Bob Fesco about Frank White, who was recalled as the Jackson County executive. Bob, you were as plugged into this as anybody. It would make sense to me if the teams wanted to see what was going to happen in Jackson County before resuming their conversation with Jackson County. Is that what you think is happening? Do you think the Royals go back and re-up those conversations? Do you think the Chiefs re-up those conversations? Or do you think that this doesn't have an effect on what's going to happen with either team?
I think maybe the Chiefs. I don't think the Chiefs ever really stopped their conversations, you know, with Jackson County. I think the Royals probably, if they were talking to anybody, you know, over there, it was probably on the city side, maybe, or North Kansas City. You know, you heard what John Sherman's wife said after the election went down. They were not happy with what went on, you know, in Jackson County. She was very vocal about that, you know, on Facebook. And I think that's kind of the feeling for a lot of people. You know, they were burned. The Royals, I think, felt burned by Jackson County. And they were. They lost that vote. It wasn't handled properly. It wasn't marketed properly by the Royals or either team, quite honestly. There was not a great marketing and campaign about that. But Frank White got in front of it and tried to stop all of that from happening and trying to make stadiums better and quality of life better for everybody in Kansas City. Carrington, I know you live in the city. I mean, look at all the new roads that have been paved downtown because we're getting the World Cup. Sports matter. Sports brings money. Sports supports cities. And you're going to see more and more stuff of the way that sports is supporting Kansas City as we get closer and closer to the World Cup.
That's the part that I do feel for Frank White in all of this is I do think that Frank is being made the face of a really bad plan. And I think he was one of the few people that stood up for it. The Royals did not put together a very convincing package for the public to give them $1 billion to build a stadium. I said this when it happened. The Chiefs' upgrades for the stadiums were marginal. It was like what they do with an iPhone where it goes from the 14 to the 14S. I can see why the public wasn't too excited about giving them $500 million to go out there and make very, very small upgrades to the stadium. I know Frank is being viewed as a villain. I'm with you. His time has to be viewed as a failure. But I do think he was one of the few people that was willing to stand up to the Chiefs and the Royals and say, your plan's not good enough. And the public agreed with that.
Yeah, they absolutely did. And look, I think this whole thing with the stadiums, Carrington, when it was going to be in the East Village and the Royals were going to build that ballpark and the empty land by the J.E. Dunn headquarters down there, and that's where it was going to go, that was going to be great. It was going to get passed. It was a vacant swatch of land down there. It needed to be developed. It was the perfect location. And then, you know, one thing leads to another, and the mayor wants to tie the Power and Light District into the Royals ballpark district. So they said, oh, okay, we'll go with that. The plan came at the last minute, endorsed by the mayor on a Saturday before the election. Frank White never got behind it. But I still don't think, I think ultimately, Carrington, it comes down to the teams on this. They didn't educate the voters at all about what they wanted to really do. It was kind of dark at night. It was kind of a cluster type situation. I have people every single day tell me, every day, Carrington, why do we need a new ballpark? The Royals should have been out there at every Little League game, every Kiwanis Club, every PTA meeting, explaining why they need the new ballpark and what the ballpark is going to provide and how it's going to, you know, generate more money, how the team's going to be beneficial for it. Show the Atlanta project down at the Battery. The Royals did none of that. They just wanted people to vote. The Chiefs did none of that. They just wanted the people to vote. You've got to educate the electorate. And the public in Kansas City was not educated by either team on any of these stadiums. And so did Frank White end up getting involved and taking the nose stand? Yeah, but it was before that when he raised everybody's property tax too. And I think that's the ultimate one right there for me.
Which just, it doesn't make any sense how this has been so hard to really sell the public on a new stadium. Just, I went back and looked it up. The old airport was born in November of 1972. So around the same time that the baseball and football stadium were, and we've obviously seen what a fresh coat of paint can do for an airport. The Royals are trying to do the exact same thing for a baseball stadium. You and I have been to stadiums outside of the city, and you've seen a lot of the new amenities to them. Like, this should be a very easy thing to sell the public, and you're right. They failed at almost every single turn to convince the public why we need a new stadium and also their vision on what the new stadium will be and where it will be.
And I also think, too, Carrington, I think both franchises probably took for granted that people – just go to other ballparks and other stadiums all the time and they see, you know, what these stadiums are like. That's not the case at all. You've got to educate them. And I've been, I think, to 23 ballparks now because we do a ballpark trip every year. And my buddies and I have been doing this since college. And so I've had that opportunity to see what's out there. And then you come back to Kauffman Stadium, you just realize how antiquated, outdated, and how you can't generate revenue there in order to put the best possible team on the field when you see what goes on in Atlanta. 22 bars and restaurants, hotels, companies are there. And that's what they're going to try to do, you know, at 119th with Fiserv being part of the deal and bringing in bars and restaurants and hotels and apartments and being a 365-day-a-year revenue generator where all that money goes back to the team and the team gets to keep all that money. Same with the Chiefs. That's why they need to build that entertainment district so they can be a revenue generator 365. Because in the NFL, every dollar you make on your stadium stays with you. And then you can pay those bigger signing bonuses. And if you get into a free agency war and let's say Denver's offering somebody a $40 million signing bonus, well, Clark can turn around and go, I got 42 because we built all this new stuff and I've got extra income coming in now that I can spend on talent.
Last thing here, Bob, I believe that people are very, very forgiving. I mean, Frank White is one of the most important Kansas City residents that we have ever had. I know that this stint as a politician, it failed about as spectacularly as it can fail. But we're not talking about criminal charges. We're not talking about any of that. I believe there is always a pathway back to the public's heart. Do you see that? Do you think that the teams, the city, Frank White, do you think that bridge can ever be kind of mended and all sides can move forward?
I mean, this was also a man that was fired by the organization because they didn't like his, you know, whatever he was doing. So it's going to be tough. I really do think it's going to be tough. He's going to have to do a lot of apologizing and mea culpas and admit that he messed this thing up. Because when you have everybody mad at you, it's not everybody else. It's you.
That is our guy, Bob Fesco, joining us on the show. Bob, I appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate you as well, my man. Thank you so much for having me. That was fun.
Absolutely. That is Bob Fesco joining us on the show today. What's our show called?
Fesco and Dusty.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Fesco in the morning, Fesco in the morning with Dusty. I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure which one it was. So I just wanted to just, you know, be clear. Shout out to I do think that Bob had a really, really good point there. The Royals need a new stadium. I don't really know how you can argue it, honestly. And we all love Kauffman Stadium. I love Kauffman. You love Kauffman. Like, it kind of is time for the Royals to get a brand new stadium. The fact that they have done such a poor job of explaining that to the Kansas City, the average Kansas Cityan, is a really, really bad job on their part. It's a really, really bad job. So we'll see what happens.
He said it perfectly. And I know today is Frank White got ousted today, and we're talking about Frank White. But Bob said it perfectly. I don't think the Royals, or Chiefs for that matter, it's both, did a really good job of educating the electorate. I think both teams were like, fans will go to the polls because fans love us and we're good. And fans went to the polls and said, you guys don't have a plan. And the half a plan you've given us doesn't seem great. No. And ever since that day, I still feel like the Royals and Chiefs have been like, don't worry, we have a plan. As long as you vote for us, we have a plan. You have to educate us. Chiefs, why do you need an upgrade Arrowhead? Why do you need better suites? Why do you need better amenities?
Kaufman, why do you need a new stadium? Why should we want a new stadium? I feel like those questions never got answered. It was just, hey, we're the Chiefs, come vote for us. Hey, we're tired of being out here next to the Chiefs, come vote for us. That's never going to get anyone fired up into the polls.
No, it certainly wasn't. Well, let's get to football here, and we'll bounce back and forth. Matt Evans is going to join us here coming up in just a little bit. Really excited to get his thoughts on what happened with Frank White. So I put a poll up earlier today. This was the poll, and I'm curious what you guys think. The Chiefs right now are 2-2. They have four games before they play the Buffalo Bills. So, you know, a nice, easy number that we all can wrap our heads around. These are the four teams that they play in the month of October. They play Jacksonville on Monday night. That's their only road game. And then the Chiefs have three straight games at Arrowhead. Detroit, Las Vegas, and the Commanders on Monday Night Football. What do you think the Chiefs' record is going to be heading into the Bills game? There are five possible choices: 2-6, 3-5, 4-4, 5-3, 6-2. I think they'll be 5-3. I don't want to be pessimistic, but I just got to give you guys my opinion. I think the Chiefs lose either on Monday night or to the Lions. I think they lose one of those two games. I'm not 100% convinced that their offense is fully back. I think that the Jaguars have one of the more tenacious defense, take the football away. I actually think Detroit's the best team in the NFC. I know what the Eagles' record is. I think the Lions are better and a more complete team than they are. And if that game turns into a shootout, I think the Lions have the ability, A, to keep up with Kansas City in a way that Baltimore couldn't. I also think that Detroit's defense is just better than their team. So I think the Chiefs lose one of these next two games. I think they take care of business at home against Vegas. I think they take care of business at home against Washington. I think they're 5-3, trending in the right direction. They've got Rashee Rice back, and they're heading into their most important game of the season. So I voted 5-3 in this one, and I would say if you're 5-3 through your first eight games, you got through a lot of the injuries, suspensions, and a lot of the things that happened in the first half of the season. You now put yourself into a really good spot with Buffalo and then a bye week to really get going in the second half.
Me and you see this thing similarly. I think they're just going to handle Vegas when that comes up. I'm not worried about it. But I think they'll be 5-3 at the end. And the way I looked at it is between the Jags, who I think we haven't really delved into the Jags because Monday Night Football and all those reasons, the Jags are a little saltier than I think people think. I think people think Trevor Lawrence is overrated. It's a first-year coach. They're still the Jags. Like, they have no fan base. They don't really have, like, it feels like it's all propped up smoke and mirrors. But they are a better team this year than people think. And then the Commanders, who are supposed to get Jaden Daniels back this week, so we presume he will definitely be back by the Chiefs game on Monday night in Arrowhead when the Commanders take on the Chiefs. I think in those three games, the Chiefs go 2-1. I think maybe they lose the Jags and they bounce back and beat the Lions. Maybe they beat the Jags but lose the Lions, then take care of business against the Commanders. Maybe they do something I don't foresee coming. They go 2-0 against the Jags and Lions, and then Jaden Daniels just balls out and they can't stop him because he is one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, and he goes out and wins a game. But I think in those three, which are the difficult three in this four-game stretch, I think they are going to go 2-1. So I have them 5-3 at the end of this thing, which, if you had told me in week one, hey, the Chiefs are going to be 5-3 at the end of going into Buffalo, I would have taken that. I still think you're probably a game and a half back of Buffalo at that point for the number one seed, but you're very, very, very much in it for everything if you're 5-3 at that point this season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, 5-3 to me is just a really good spot, especially when you look at the teams and the fact that you have kind of had to fight with one hand behind your back for a large portion of the season. Like, I don't really know how good Jacksonville is. Like, I think Monday to me is more about Kansas, or it's more about Jacksonville than I think it's about Kansas City. For Kansas City, I've seen the Chiefs win that game 50 times in Patrick Mahomes' career. This is the upstart team that feels good about itself in the first month of the season. We, as the public, don't really know how good they are, and they got a chance to prove to us. But on the flip side, now, I know people will laugh at this comment. This would be one of the bigger regular season wins in the history of the Jacksonville Jaguars organization if they win this game. Home game, Monday night, defending three-time AFC champion to go to 4-1. They don't have a lot of those seasons in Jacksonville. They've never been to a Super Bowl. They've just never done any of those things. So I'm kind of looking at this of like, I'm really interested to see how good Jacksonville is and if they can prove that they can be in this conversation. This is much more perception changing to me for Jacksonville than I think it is for Kansas City. We all know what the Chiefs are at this point, and we've all kind of, I think, established that we're not really going to evaluate them until after the Rashee Rice suspension. We will evaluate the Jacksonville Jaguars if they can figure out a way to get a win on Monday night.
I don't know the game is going to go like this, but I think you'll understand my comparison for the Jags are. And again, we have plenty of time to talk about the Jags. For Jacksonville, I imagine this game feels like that 2015 Monday night game against the Patriots did for Chiefs fans. Remember, the Chiefs were good in 2014, excuse me. Remember that game? It was the day before the wild card game. The Chiefs went out and they throttled Tom Brady and the Patriots, and famously Bill Belichick said, "We're on to Cincinnati" after the game. That was a regular season Monday Night Football win for the Chiefs over the Patriots. If you ask 30 NFL franchises, hey, who did the Patriots lose to that led to the run to Cincinnati? They wouldn't know. But for Chiefs fans, that was a statement that we aren't just some flash in the pan. We are a real franchise again. We got Andy Reid. We can compete and we can take care of business against the bully in the AFC. If you're a Jags fan, all dozen of them down there, you got to think to yourself, this is what that is. We have a chance to have the bully of the AFC come down to where we are hometown, and we're going to show people we're more than just schedule driven. We're more than just some plucky underdog story. We are a legitimate team in the NFL, in the AFC, new coach, our quarterback's revitalized. We're going to show the world. That's kind of how it feels. Now, I don't think it's going to go like that Monday Night Football game went for Chiefs and Patriots, but I imagine if we polled people in Duval County, that's how they feel about this game coming up on Monday.
Yeah, text line 913-586-7965. You guys are crazy. Jacksonville's not beating the Chiefs. I mean, I'm picking the Chiefs to win the game. I probably would pick the Lions to beat them if I'm just looking ahead a little bit and why I think they're going to be 5-3 heading into the Bills game. But I don't want to just completely blow over the game against Jacksonville. Not for a team that has shown a great ability to turn the football over. Not for a team that has shown you an ability to get to the quarterback and a team that can run the football successfully. I really think that, I guess, your feeling about the next two games really comes down to how much do you believe in the offensive output that Kansas City gave on Sunday? And if you are one of the people that believe that the Chiefs' offense is back, then you think they're winning these next two games. Because if their offense is back with that defense that they have, they will win both of these games. I'm not completely sold on the offense. So I'm going into one of these two games where, hey, are you going to fall into some of the same problems? Are you going to be able to protect Patrick Mahomes? Are you going to be able to run the football successfully? Are you going to be able to get enough? So I still have those questions about the Chiefs offense. They can get answered by going out and continuing to play well, but just the one-off against the 31st ranked defense in the National Football League, that has not gotten me to completely erase all of my thoughts about their offense. So I think that one of these next two games is just going to end up being a lot closer, a lot more uncomfortable than maybe anticipated. So I've got them 5-3 heading into the Bills game. You guys let me know what you think. 913-586-7965. The Chiefs have four games before they play the Buffalo Bills. They have two games before they get back Rashee Rice. What do you think the Chiefs' record is going to be heading into Week 9 on the road at Buffalo? I'm picking 5-3. I think they lose one of these next two games. I think they lose to either Jacksonville or Detroit. I think they're 5-3 heading into it, turning things around, playing with some momentum, heading into their most important game of the season. Let us know what you guys think coming up at the top of the hour. We'll be joined by Matt Evans of Channel 9. We'll do a Cover 3 coming up on the other side. We'll give you our thoughts on Missouri, KU, and K-State. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
No matter what side of the state line, KC loves its college teams. The Drive gives you an update on the Wildcats, Tigers, and Jayhawks.
I don't think he made it. I don't think he made it. He did not. K-State stops Kid Ray Miller at the one.
It is.
Yes. Down a walk-off winner from 61. Harrison Meadus.
The local kid from Lawrence scores first.
It's time for the Cover 3.
All right. You know what? Of all the three teams, Missouri to me is the easiest team to give their opinions on. It's quite honestly the easiest team. Missouri has played all five of their games at home. They have taken care of business in all five of their games. They're probably a little better at quarterback than people thought. They're certainly better at running back than people thought. They have one of the three best running backs in college football so far this season. Maybe you would argue the best. I'd probably argue Jeremiah Love is still the best running back in college football. I think Ahmad Hardy's probably been the second best running back in college football. It don't matter. They got a great one who could be first team all SEC. Their defense has been very good, and they have looked good in the games they are supposed to look good. They have two parts of their season. Part one is over. Part one was the part where you expected to be 5-0. You had a coin flip game against South Carolina, at least at the beginning of the season. It ended up not being a coin flip game. Missouri is clearly better than South Carolina. Their season starts October 11th at home against Alabama. Eli Drinkwitz does not have a win in his Missouri career like that one. The closest one you would probably say is the COVID season when they beat LSU at home. I mean, that wasn't a great LSU team, but to beat LSU at home was a really big deal for Eli Drinkwitz. They do not have a win like this. Alabama is a team that can win the national championship, that can go to the college football playoff, marquee tier one. They don't have a win like this. It'll be the biggest Missouri football win since the Johnny Manziel game, 2015, where they went to their second consecutive SEC championship game. It's probably the biggest win they've had in possibly a decade. A massive, massive win. The season begins for Missouri next Saturday against Alabama. Everything they have done so far is good. If you want to dream big and how great this season can be, it starts with them beating Alabama at home.
I mean, Missouri fans should absolutely start to dream a dream. Like, even if you lose to Bama, and I think there's a really good chance you beat Bama, because, by the way, have you seen Bama's schedule for their second half of the season? Absolute murderer's row. They're going Georgia, Vanderbilt, Missouri, back to back to back. Like, you're getting them after that three-game gauntlet. It's a really good spot to get them if you're the Tigers. But the Tigers should absolutely start to dream a dream about making the college football playoff, because you're getting Bama, as I said, schedule-wise, advantageously. They're on the third game of three tough ones. Oklahoma, we don't know the situation with John Mateer. If they don't have John Mateer, they are not as good of a team. They just aren't. That defense is still good, but they do not have the offense. They will look like Oklahoma of last season. I know they still have Vanderbilt and A&M, but if you can get Oklahoma without Mateer and you can get Bama 10-2 and you're last year's Tennessee team, yeah, you're probably a 12 seed or 11 seed in the college football playoff, and you might have to go on the road in the first round, and maybe it doesn't go well. You end up at Penn State or whatever, but you don't care about what happens in the playoff. Making the playoff is the goal, and there is absolutely no reason you can't believe that is happening based on the way their schedule is starting to shake out.
Yeah, you and I have talked about it. Missouri has five massive games. Maybe you want to add Mississippi State, but that game is at home. If you lose Mississippi State at home, you're just probably not a playoff team, if I'm being completely honest with you. But I don't care how good they are. You're just not a playoff team if you lose to them, not at the crib. If you got to go 3-2, but you are starting that stretch, you know one thing you can't do. You can't be losing the home games, because on the road against Vanderbilt is tough. You play Oklahoma later in the season. You mentioned John Mateer. He might be playing at that point at the end of the season. Like, the road games that you do have, you got to take serve of the games at home, and then you deal with what you got to deal with on the road when you have a coin flip. I don't know if you can look at Missouri as a truly playoff caliber team if they lose this game next Saturday to Alabama. So I think they're just a very easy, straightforward team to kind of evaluate.
Real quick, I'm sorry. I mean, apologies for interrupting. You think if they lose to Bama?
I was ready to move on and talk about your team. You want to talk more Missouri football?
I just want to make sure I heard this correctly. You think if they lose to Bama, they are not a playoff team? Because I think Bama is better than you've given them credit for most of the season.
I agree. No, I 100% agree. I'm just saying is, if you were telling me that so far this season, we agree, they have won every game that they are supposed to win.
100%.
The first time they play a true coin flip game, they lose. That team ain't making the college football playoff.
Okay.
I mean, they will have another nice season. They'll go 9-3, and they'll go to a decent bowl game. They are not going to the playoff if they lose to Alabama. Not starting this stretch. Alabama on the road against Auburn, on the road against Vanderbilt, Texas A&M, Mississippi State on the road against Oklahoma. You got to start that stretch with a win. Because I would say you have to expect to lose either to Auburn or Vanderbilt on the road. Missouri has not proven to me, and I think most teams, that if you're a fringe playoff team, which you agree, that's what Missouri will be. They'll be somewhere between the 7th and 11th seed. You usually don't win back-to-back road games in conference play. One of those two teams gets you. So if you think you're going to lose one of those road games, then yeah, that's the one you got to take care of. You got to take care of business at home. Let's talk about your Kansas Jayhawks team. I'm not as down on KU as maybe KU fans are. Now, maybe now you got a little bit of time to remove yourself, and I understand the frustration of losing that game. I think Kansas is a 7-5 football team. I think 7-5 football teams lose games like the one that they lost. I think Cincinnati is maybe a little bit better than people want to give credit to. Their quarterback is certainly a lot better than I think people wanted to give credit. And I think KU lost a shootout to that team. I think they'll win the UCF game. I think they have a great chance of beating K-State, Oklahoma State. I think they can beat Arizona. Like, can they get to a bowl game this year? Can they find a way to win seven games? I think there's a pathway to them doing that.
I agree. They're probably a 7-5, 6-6 type of team, which I understand why KU fans are frustrated by it. New stadium. They felt like they had something special with their quarterback coming back. I get why that feels like a little bit of letdown, even though it is a step forward. I think for me, the question with KU is, can you maybe not compete for a Big 12 title? Can you beat one of the teams you're not supposed to beat? They got Iowa State on the road. They got Texas Tech on the road. They got Utah at home. They probably go 0-3 in those games. But fan sentiment about the team going 8-4 and stealing just one of those games is light years different. If you're telling me into the offseason, KU an 8-4, but they found a way to beat Utah, fans will feel a lot better about Lance Leipold. They'll feel a lot better about the program than 7-5, but they just feasted off teams that they're supposed to beat. Because to date, you know, we're talking about Missouri, they've won all the games they're supposed to win. KU has not stolen a game yet. And if you think you want to take that next step as a program, you have to steal a game somewhere. And KU just hasn't done that this year.
Yeah, but I guess maybe in theory, I mean, the stealing a game, I would say that there was only one. Like, Missouri is a better team program. Missouri has more talent. They also played Missouri on the road. I'm not even saying this as a Missouri fan. Expecting to go on the road and beat Missouri, I think, is a unrealistic ask for KU where they are as a program.
I just don't think KU wants to go 0-4 in games where they feel like they could steal one. Because Missouri, Tech, Iowa State, Utah, those are the four where it's like, Can you go 1-3 and feel better about the program, or 0-4 and you're already 0-1 in that stretch? Just feels like you're the plucky 6-6 team every year.
Which I would say that KU hasn't been a whole lot in their college football time. Like, that's the thing we were kind of going back to Monday when we were having this conversation. Like, I think KU fans are kind of thumbing their nose at something that they have very rarely been. Kind of like almost the exact same conversation as the Royals. The Royals win 82 games, and now that's not good enough for you? They've won 82 games six times in 25 years. Now we're talking about how the Royals have failed? No, I don't know if that's the case. I don't even know why I'm going to ask you this question, because I know you're about to start hating. What are we doing with K-State? Because technically, K-State is still in it. They only have one loss in the Big 12, even though they lost to Arizona, who was in the Big 12, but not
a Big 12 loss.
It doesn't make any sense. It's all confusing. None of it makes sense.
Classic non-con in-conference loss.
Doesn't make any sense. It feels to me like Saturday is the swing game for them. It's the swing game. You have a road game against Baylor. I think Baylor has been better than K-State, but that is a game that K-State can win, especially with the version of Dylan Edwards that they just got on Saturday. If they can get that game, they get back to 3-3, you can very easily turn this thing around. You got a home game against TCU, a game that you should feel like you can win. You got a game against a team that you have beat for 16 consecutive years, and you got a home game against Texas Tech. So it has started very poorly for K-State, no question about it. They can turn this thing around real quick in Manhattan if they can just find a way to win this game. They got to go on the road, and they got to beat Baylor. If you can do that, you can turn your season around. It's right. The pathway for them turning this thing around is right there. But there is no pathway if you lose to Baylor.
I agree. The pathway is there if they beat Baylor, because then you got TCU. You get a bye before KU, which I think also helps. Texas Tech's very good. But if you lose to Texas Tech, that they're going to win the Big 12, you're no harm, no foul. I also think that's the positive side of the coin. The flip side is if you lose to Baylor, TCU might be more talented than you. This thing can get away from you quickly. Like, you're talking about go down to Waco, steal one, then you feel good. You can maybe beat TCU. Now you're 2-0, getting ready for a game in Lawrence. All right, that's exciting. If you're 0-2 in that stretch heading to Lawrence, the season can absolutely spiral in the blink of an eye. I don't know what to do with K-State. I'm not even trying to hate. I don't know. They look good against UCF. They look terrible in every other game I've seen them play.
That's
so
sure.
I don't know which version of the K-State is real. I would take the sample size of four games, but they did look good against UCF.
And that's why I think the game against Baylor is the sign, right? To your point about KU, you got to steal one. If you're K-State, you got to steal one, especially when you lost to Army. You got to steal one. You got to steal the road game against Baylor, because your road games this year, I mean, KU, not a tough place to play, and we know that K-State fans are going to show up for that one. On the road against Oklahoma State, they've already fired their coach, and on the road against Utah, Utah's already lost the home game so far this year. So, like, if you're talking about the road games that you have, you don't have the most difficult stretch in the Big 12. If you can figure out a way to win on Saturday, you get back to 500, you're still in this conversation of one of the better teams in the Big 12, and you could certainly salvage your season. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Matt Evans of Channel 9. We'll get his thoughts on Frank White, who was removed as the Jackson County executive. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. So drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Houston, when the game's on the line, you trust the Texans to deliver. When your life's on the line after an accident, trust the official personal injury attorney of the Houston Texans, Sheriff Injury Law Firm. Insurance companies have a game plan, and so do we. We fight for your rights, your recovery, and your results. After an accident, before you call the insurance company, call Sheriff Injury Law Firm. Sheriff Injury Law Firm, proud partner of the Houston Texans. Houston's choice for real, relentless results. Go to www.callthesheriff.com.